Buddham.
Certainly.
Bhavan.
Your honor.
Bhagavata.
Of the Lord.
Hear
that which.
Angaja.
Born from the body.
Parameshtina.
Lord Brahma.
Vitudan.
By playing on.
Atate.
Travel all over.
Vinam.
A musical instrument.
Hitaya.
For the welfare.
And Jagata.
Of the world.
Arkavat.
Like the sun.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
My dear Lord, you are a worthy son of Lord Brahma, and you travel playing on your musical instrument, the Veena, for the welfare of the entire universe. You are like the sun, which rotates in the universe for the benefit of all living beings. Translation responsibly. My dear Lord.
My dear Lord.
You are a worthy son of Lord Brahma.
You are a worthy son of Lord Brahma.
And you travel.
And you travel.
Playing on your musical instrument.
Playing on your musical instrument.
The Veena.
The Veena.
For the welfare of the entire universe.
For the welfare of the entire universe.
You are like the sun.
You are like the sun.
Which rotates in the universe.
Which rotates in the universe.
For the benefit of all living beings.
For the benefit of all living beings.
Purport. Dhruva Maharaj, although a young child, expressed his hope that he might be offered the benediction of a kingdom which would exceed in opulence those of his father and grandfather. He also expressed his gladness that he had met such an exalted person as Narada, whose only concern was to illuminate the world like the sun, which rotates all over the universe only for the purpose of benefiting the inhabitants of all planets. Narada Muni travels all over the universe for the sole purpose of performing the best welfare activity for the entire universe by teaching everyone how to become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, Dhruva Maharaj felt fully assured that Narada Muni could fulfill his desire, even though the desire was very extraordinary. The example of the sun is very significant. The sun is so kind that he distributes his sunshine everywhere without consideration. Dhruva Maharaj requested Narada Muni to be merciful to him. He pointed out that Narada travels all over the universe just for the purpose of doing good to all conditioned souls. He requested that Narada Muni show his mercy by awarding him the benefit of his particular desire. Dhruva Maharaj was strongly determined to fulfill his desire, and it was for that purpose that he had left his home and palace. Amigyan Tivadandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Sva Vedantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram,
Hare Ram, Hare Hare. This is a very famous pastime in the Bhagavatam. So there are several very notable and special and qualified personalities in this pastime. The main person in the pastime is Dhruva Maharaj, who is extraordinary because he teaches us determination in devotional service. Rupa Goswami says that if you want to be successful in devotional service, you must have certain qualities, which are prasiddhati. Prasiddhati means? Prasiddhati means things that are favorable. Yeah, favorable for devotional service. Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, there are three verses in the beginning. And he gives three groups of six. First thing are the vegans. Vegam means urge. There's six things you must control if you want to progress in spiritual life. And then he says there are six things which you must avoid if you want to progress in spiritual life. And then he says there are six things that you must accept if you want to progress in spiritual life. So those first three verses are the guidelines for sadhana bhakti. If you want to advance in devotional service as a sadhaka, you have to accept you have to practice those three verses. You have to imbibe their instructions. That's why it's called upadeshamrita. It's the nectar of instruction. And so it's the essence of all the Vedic instructions. You have to have self-control, otherwise you can't begin devotional life, devotional service. Devotional service begins when you have self-control. If you can't control those six urges, it becomes difficult to progress in spiritual life. And that is what brahmachari and brahmacharini training is for. Why do we have the training? One of the reasons is to develop self-control. So you can control those different urges. Then you can advance in spiritual life. If you come to Krishna consciousness as a grihastha, already married, and then you meet the Hare Krishna movement, and then you enter into ISKCON and become a practicing devotee, then you have to practice like a brahmachari or a brahmacharini. Means you have to act and begin the practices in the same way a brahmacharini or a brahmachari would do. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, says that we should become grihastha brahmacharis. You may be in grihastha ashram, you have to act like a brahmachari. And you have to you have to get training. Brahmachari life is the best, brahmacharini life is the best, because there's no distraction. But if you can't do that, then you have to practice within your grihastha ashram. So you have to learn to get control of the senses. When you have control, then you can advance and progress in spiritual life. Just like Dhruva Maharaj right here. How old is he? 5 years old. How old are you?
Six and a half.
He's even smaller than you, Dhruva Maharaj. Only five. Only 5 years old, and he's so determined for fixed in Krishna consciousness. He has control of his urges. It's the beginning of spiritual life. If you want to progress, then you have to have control. And then, six things you must avoid. Things that must be avoided if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. Over-endeavoring, over-collecting, associating with the... Out of the six, the most important to be avoided, or the one that gives rise to the other five, Janasangash. Janasangash means associating with materialistic people. You associate with materialistic people, then what happens to you? You also become a materialist. Their consciousness affects us. So you have to be very careful associating with the non-devotees. We associate with the non-devotees to purify them, to give them our association. Otherwise, their association is contaminating. So you have to be very careful. And the whole world is full of contamination now. Australia is a very contaminated place, very liberal place. You see things and you hear things and all sorts of things, which are very contaminating to the consciousness. Prabhupada said the morning program is an inoculation. before you go out into the world of Maya, you have to inoculate yourself. Just like when a doctor goes into the contaminated ward, he has to inoculate himself. He has to take some medicine so that he won't catch the disease. So Prabhupada said the morning program is like that. The morning program is inoculation. We purify our consciousness, and then when we go out, you know, we won't get as contaminated. But still some contamination takes place. But then Prabhupada said once a year you should go to the holy dharms and you should purify yourself in the holy atmosphere of the holy dharm. So it is contaminating, this material world. So therefore, jhana sangash, that is the most difficult out of all things. You have to be always wary of the association of the non-devotees. Then, six things that you have to accept if you want to be successful in Krishna consciousness. You don't offer obeisances when you come into the temple? You have to touch. Everyone has to do it. Even Prabhupada did it. So then, six things you have to accept in devotional service. If you want to be successful. Utsahan. Nishchayad. Dayayat. So here it is being spoken of. Dhruva Maharaj had these qualities to become successful. Enthusiasm. He was fixed to attain his goal. And then determination or confidence, especially. This is what we, the main quality we learn from Dhruva Maharaj. He's determined. If you want to be successful in spiritual life, you have to be incredibly determined to focus. And then Dharyat. Dharyat means you have to be patient. He was patient. You don't normally find this in five-year-olds. A five-year-old person, you know, being enthusiastic, determined, and patient, that's quite rare. We see some of the children sitting here, they have those qualities, because from the previous life, they are transcendentalists. They practiced devotional service in the last lifetime, so now they're just taking up where they left off. They did not perfect it, so now they have to perfect their life. So then, Prabhupada said they are Vaikuntha children. Because they are devotees, they have to be protected. That's our main service, is to look after these children. We have to always remember they're Vaikuntha children. Even if they behave like monkeys, we still have to always be conscientious. They're not ordinary. So, it says here that Dhruva Maharaj, he got the association of Narada. So what is this lesson we're being taught in this section of the Bhagavatam? You can't become perfect unless you have a guru, a spiritual master. And you see, Narada, he is the guru of many, many of the devotees in the Bhagavatam. Who else is he a guru of? Prahlad Maharaj. Who else? Vyasadeva. Who else? Yudhishthira. Who else? Dhruva Maharaj. See, again and again he appears. Devashi means he is the rishi amongst the demigods. He gives guidance to all of the devatas, all of the devotees. He's the spiritual master of everyone. So he appeared. He heard Dhruva Maharaj was doing this tapasya. So he said, I will come, I will assist him. That is the mood of the spiritual master. The spiritual master appears for what purpose? To assist us. Brahmanda Brahmite Korna Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Lord Chaitanya says, Brahmanda Brahmite. Brahmanda means the material universe. Brahmanda, Brahmite. You've been wandering around this material universe for lifetimes. Practically, we've been through every species of life, from the highest to the lowest in the material world. We have been demigods. We've also been worms. So we've been very significant, we've been very insignificant, all these things, everything in between. Brahmanda Brahmitu, Kona Bhagya, but Bhagyavana, Jeev. Bhagyavan means?
Fortunate.
Bhagya. Great fortune. Bhagyavana Jeev. Bhagyavana Jeev means a fortunate Jeeva. And Guru Krishna Prasade. He gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the Prasad. He gets the mercy. Where's the rest of the ashram? There's no one here. What's happening? Hare Krishna. So, Guru Krishna Prasad. We get Prasad. Prasad means the mercy. When you are sincere in your heart, at last they come. When you are sincere in your heart, then Krishna, he gives you mercy. Because Krishna is directing the wanderings of every living entity. He says the Gita, he knows what you're thinking. He knows what your desires are. And when you have spiritual desires, then what does Krishna do? Krishna arranges that you will wander into the association of a guru, a bona fide spiritual master. By Krishna's mercy, you find guru. And then by guru's mercy, you find Krishna. That is the system. So when you have sincerity, then Krishna, he arranges that you come. And all of us, we understand. You look back at how you came to devotional service. It was Krishna's arrangement. Certain things happen at certain times, right? And then you were able to come. That was Krishna guiding. It wasn't random. It wasn't by chance. Krishna, he understands. That's why Prabhupada emphasized we have to distribute his books. That's how I became a devotee. First contact with Hare Krishna was one book, Coming Back. And then I looked, I still remember, I was sitting there in my grandmother's house, and I turned like that, and on the bookshelf right next to me, it said, Coming Back. And I said, oh, that is interesting. I believe in reincarnations. Picked that book, 2 hours, read everything. Just sat there for 2 hours and read. I think there's 8 chapters. I only read up to chapter 6 or 7, which was unfortunate, because the last chapter tells you to chant Hare Krishna. That's the only thing I didn't know. But I read the book. That is Guru's mercy, Guru Prasad, Krishna Prasad, that you came in contact with the Guru in the form of his Vani. Because the Vapu was rare. I never met Prabhupada. When Prabhupada left the world, I was 8 years old. I was just a boy. I never met Prabhupada. I never saw Hare Krishna in real life, right? Until I came to this temple. I never saw Hare Krishna. But by the Vani, by the instruction of the Guru, then I became a devotee, picked it up, and then Guru's Prasad. Then I read. And one particular pastime that attracted me to Krishna consciousness. In the Coming Back, there is a pastime of Jad Bharata. When I read about Jad Bharata, I thought that's what I want to be like. Someone who is not affected by duality in this world. Right? And when I read that, then I thought, yes, that's what I want. I want that type of consciousness. But because I was in Maya, then I did not surrender. I still thought, oh, I will try so many other things in the material world. But then at that point, the Seed has been planted. Bhakti lata, bija. Bija means a seed. Seed has been planted. Krishna has put the seed in. So then I tried to go here, tried to go there, enjoy, make plans to be successful and famous in the material world. And then every time I went here, one direction, Krishna would stop it. And so I went there, he would stop it. It was like playing chess. I went there, Krishna went. I went there, Krishna went. I went there. And finally Krishna said, checkmate. And then I had no choice, only one choice. Now I have to visit this Hare Krishna temple. So I rang the Hare Krishna temple in the back of the coming back and said, phone number is there, 197 Dang Street. So I ring the temple, some Mataji picks up. Hare Krishna. I said, oh, I'd like to come and visit. I said, what time do you open? She said, 4 in the morning to 9 at night. I thought, what sort of place is open at 4 in the morning? In my mind, I just thought it was like a shop front or something. You know, like you go down on Victoria Avenue, the Buddhists have got a place just down there. It's just a shop front. In my mind, I thought it's a shop front. And then I drove my car, I pulled up outside, and then I see this huge place, very impressive. And I walked in first time, and I came in, there was no one there. It's not like now, there's lots of devotees around. Back then it was very quiet. No one there. I was in the courtyard by myself for about half an hour. No one was around. And I thought, this place is mystical. It's like some mystical place. Even people don't come here, it's like so mystical. Then after half an hour, then I was sitting just out there on the chair, just out on the there. First Vaishnava I ever saw in real life, Jagannath Balabhapur. And he was going, doing, in the morning, bringing the altar, doing altar service. So he was going back and forth, and going there to the altar and then coming back and like that. Went past me about 5 times. And every time he went past, he just looked at me. And he didn't say anything. And then I thought in my mind, I thought, wow, that he doesn't even speak. I thought, he is a monk. And I said, he's not even in this world. He's just walking around, but his consciousness must be. Oh, wow. And I thought, I just want to be just like him. And then Jagannath, because he's a little bit shy, so he went and got one Mataji and he said, come and speak to this boy. So she came and then she introduced me to one devotee. Then I went upstairs and they preached to me and then I said, I want to join. After 2 hours. I said, I want to join. They said, you can't. You can't just move into the ashram. We never met you before. You just walked in here and said, I want to join. I said, well, I will come here every day. So you better you let me stay here. And then I don't have to come back and forth all the time. They said, you come and meet the temple president. So I met the temple president, same thing. Spoke for 2 hours. Yeah, he said, you can't just move in. I said, same thing. I said, I'm going to come every day. So then he said, okay, when do you want to move in? I said, okay, give me 3-4 days. I'll just tidy everything up and then come. So I went home, said to my mother, I'm becoming a Hare Krishna. She was, oh my God, what are you doing to your mother? Why are you doing that here? She said to me, I will buy you a plane ticket to anywhere in the world right now that you don't do this. And I said, no, I'm doing this. So after 3-4 days I came, I moved into temple. Only by the Vani, only by just reading one book, getting Prabhupada's association in the book, association of Jad Bharata, Bhagavatam. Just by the Vani, it changes the consciousness, creates a revolution in the consciousness of the misdirected civilization. That's why Prabhupada said we have to distribute the books. Distribute books, distribute prasadam, distribute the holy name. And that's what we have to do, because that will change the consciousness of the living entities. Otherwise, they're all going to very inauspicious destination. Very inauspicious. Everything's inauspicious now. This place is auspicious. Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir, he said the whole spiritual world is in the four walls of the temple. So when we come in here into this temple, it is the spiritual world. There's Mayapur Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Jagannath Puri Dwarka Dham. Everything is fully manifest in this temple. Prabhupada was in Melbourne, not in this temple, but just down there in St Kilda, a few kilometres away. Prabhupada said, this is not Melbourne, it is Vaikuntha. And then Prabhupada said, it is Vrindavan. So when you are in this temple, you are in the spiritual world. That's why when we are here, we get inoculated, we get purified, because then when we go out to preach, we won't become so contaminated. When I lived in the Brahmachari ashram, I lived down there in that ashram for about 8 years. So my best friend, we used to share the same room, you know, the room at the end. Who's in the end room? You're there? Okay. So that's my room. You can stay there, that's okay. So I used to stay there with Atul Krishna Prabhu, my best friend. We used to sleep there on the ground together. We sleep on the ground. Now you've got beds, right? Now they're a little bit softer these days, so they have bunk beds. But we used to just sleep on the ground. So we was sleeping there. First 6 months when he moved into the temple, he didn't go outside the temple for 6 months. Didn't leave the four walls for 6 months. Just went to the ashram, into the temple, into the ashram for 6 months. Right. And he lived off Mahaprasadam for 6 months. That's all he ate for 6 months. Not like now, like, you know, so many people come. It was more quiet then. He used to clean the plates. That was his service all day. Just clean the plates. The offering would come and then he would clean the plates like that. Like, that was his seva. Clean the kitchen service. 6 months. So he used to, you know, the plates would come back, Jagannath, Gornitai, Radha Balava, and then he'd have, you know, we have the little trays, we make up one for the Manajis, one for the Prabhus, and then he'd have one for himself. That's what he did. Just all the maha, he just put on one plate for him, and then for the others, and that's what he would eat for 6 months. Only ate maha prasad, and look at him now. So exalted in consciousness. Such an advanced devotee, such an empowered preacher. Purification. So that is the potency. So you need the association of the spiritual master. Krishna comes to you through the guru. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the guru is described as Ashraya Vigraha. Ashraya means the form of shelter. We can't see Krishna. We're not qualified to see Krishna. What will you do if you see Krishna? If we see Krishna, we'll probably say, can you give me some burfi? Or if you're a materialistic devotee, you'll probably say, can you give me a BMW? Or whatever your consciousness is. If we see Krishna, we may not be in the right attitude. So the guru trains us how to become qualified so that we can associate with Krishna. And therefore he's a Shraya Vigraha. He accepts our service, even though the service is improper, incorrect. We're unqualified. But the guru is accepting and training us. And the Prabhupada had to train all his disciples. When he first came to the West, they did not know anything. He had to train them. Srila Prabhupada had to show his first female disciples how to put on a sari. Prabhupada, imagine Prabhupada. with his first female disciple, maybe, I don't know, Malati or Jamuna or whoever it was, Prabhupada put on the sari. Because there was no one there. There was only Prabhupada. He had to train them. Everything he had to train. First time they did a Vyasa Puja for Prabhupada was in Japan. They were flying from America to India for the first time, 1970. They're flying across. And then Prabhupada said, we have to do Vyasa Puja. They'd never done a Vyasa Puja before, didn't know what to do. So Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasa-san and he was telling them, do this, do this, do this. Had to train them. And then Vyasa Puja, you have to offer Pushpanjali. You have to offer the flowers to the spiritual master. So Prabhupada at one point, he said, where is the Pushpa? Where are the flower petals? Prabhupada said, where is the Pushpa? So my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, yeah, he was only a devotee for a couple of years at that time. So the only thing when Prabhupada said Pushpa, he thought he meant like Pushpa rice. You know, it's one type of rice preparation. So he ran to the kitchen and he said, immediately cook the Pushpa rice. And Prabhupada said, that's not what I mean. Where are the flowers? They didn't know. No one knew anything. Prabhupada had to train them everything. So that's what the guru does. My spiritual master, I was serving him one time. He said, actually, it's just easy for me to do things myself. Because half the time the disciples are doing all sorts of things and, you know, making a mess and falling over themselves and doing all. One time I was in Fiji. My Guru Maharaj is Vyasa Puja, actually. I was in Fiji. And, yeah, everyone's there. My Guru Maharaj is sitting in the Vyasa-san. And then we had a kirtan. He's sitting in the Vyasa-san playing kirtan. We're all doing kirtan. And then kirtan finished, so everyone went to the ground. And then he sang Jai Om Vishnupad. So for some reason I wasn't bowing down. I was still up, so I was watching him. And then my godbrother was next to him, one of my godbrothers, and he was fanning him with a peacock fan. And then my spiritual master, like he was saying Jai Om Vishnupad, and he was going, there's some water, like the cup is a little bit away, so he's going like, bring that. So my godbrother was still trying to fan him and give him the water, like. And my grandma was just like, you know, he's saying Jai Om Vishnupad and everything, he's just like, you know, he gave him a look like, what are you doing? Just pick up the water and give it to me. He's still trying to give the water and my fanning like this is like, look like I'm crazy. So the guru has to tolerate so much to train the disciple, to make them qualified. Actually, one time, Prabhupada was on a morning walk. So he went on morning walk, he came back to the car. And then he got in the back of the car. And then I think it was Ambarish Prabhu, who's he came to Melbourne recently. He's Alfred Ford. So he's building a TLVP. So he got in the back of the car with Prabhupada. So he was sitting there and Prabhupada was in there. And then there's about four devotees. And they're all outside the car and they're all going around, you know, because one of them wanted to sit there, one wanted to sit there, you know, they're doing that. So there's like a whole leela going on outside. So Prabhupada's just looking at everything. And he turned to Ambarish, he said, my disciples are crazy. Can't even be normal. Everyone's like running and, you know, like all mental about everything. So the guru, he is sent by Krishna, and then the guru's duty is to train us how to serve Krishna, give us qualification, adhikar, to serve Krishna. Otherwise, at this point in time, we don't have any adhikar. How can we serve Krishna? We don't have qualification to serve Krishna. The guru is training us. Before Narada has come, he heard that Dhruva was doing tapasya. Out of compassion or mercy, he comes and he says to Dhruv, gives him instructions and teaches him how to progress in spiritual life. So that is the nature of the guru. He will come. He goes out of his way. You see, Prabhupada was very old. He was traveling around the world just for one reason, just to encourage the disciples. That's why the guru comes, just to encourage. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there are any questions or comments before we discuss. Yes, sir.
Two questions.
Of Krishna.
Yeah. So first question, like, in reality, there's so many people, they just read some book or one page and they enjoy it. And now these days, it seems like many people read books, but they just don't get the point. Why is that?
Still happens. Still it happens. Someone reads the book and they get the, they become devotee. Kali Yuga is becoming more contaminated and people's consciousness is becoming more contaminated. And it describes that in Kali Yuga, I was reading the other day in the 10th canto, who went to upwards, there's King Revata, who was the father of Reji. He went to see Lord Brahma. Mm. And then someone else was reading the other day. So the nature of Kali Yuga is everything diminishes. So you see, each generation in Kali Yuga, it's diminishing. Everything diminishes. Intelligence becomes less. So it's harder for people to understand things now. It's contaminated. The age is contaminated. And then their bodies are weaker. You look at the generations. So you look at Jagannath Balabhapur, right? So how old is he now?
72.
72. Right, and he's stronger than all you guys in the Brahmacharya. Right, every time I come to the temple, it's like a hospital. Hey, the young Brahmacharya is like walking around. Every time I speak to someone, I have to get an operation. You ever heard Jagannath Balabha Prabhu in 72? Yeah, has he ever gone for an operation? Ever can't do his service? You know, so strong. This older generation. And then my generation, we're not as strong as him. And then you guys are not as strong as us. And God knows what's going to happen next time. You know, each one, they're just becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. Because it's too much contamination. But it still happens. Sometimes you meet someone, they just immediately they understand it. They get a book and they read the book and they just understand. They become a devotee. But then other people, like, they read, they don't understand. I read, you know, Prabhupada's book, the book. I understood. As soon as I read it, I said, it's good. But still, my desire to enjoy the material world, I didn't come to the temple for 9 months. I understood. What was, you know, I mean, I was encouraged by it, I was enthused by it. But still the material desires were strong. Oh, I have to do this, oh, I have to do that. And when Krishna wrecked everything in my life, then I had no choice. And then now I come to the temple. Any other question?
Yeah. So in the end of Nectar of Instruction, it speaks about the glories of Radhakund.
Yeah.
And it says that even Narada Muni and I think Sanatana, they can't take bath in Radhakund. So Narada Muni can travel all over the universe, but he can't go to Radhakund and take his bath.
Narada Muni is a pure devotee. When we go to Vrindavan, India, and then we go to Radhakund, we see the material manifestation, or the Radhakund in this world, and we take bath in that. But when it says Narada Muni, he doesn't see that, he sees the spiritual Radhakund. And there is no male who can bathe in Radhakund except Krishna, only the gopis. And because Narada doesn't have a female form, he can't take bath in Radhakund. Make sense?
So there's a difference between like material manifestation of Radhakund?
Yeah, of course. We don't see the... just like Prabhupada was going for a walk in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada was walking with his disciples and one disciple was saying to Prabhupada, oh, you know, Vrindavan, there are so many pigs and there are monkeys and there are dogs and the sewage is smelly. Prabhupada said, you are not seeing Vrindavan. Well, Prabhupada was saying what we see is two different things.
we see the thin covering of the material energy which sits over the spiritual energy. That's what we see. Does it make sense? Any other question? Yes, Mataji.
Please forgive me. Such a wonderful class. I have one small correction.
Yep.
Often mistake that's made that Srila Prabhupada discussed yoga as being Vrindavan, either in here or somewhere else in Melbourne. You check in final quotes, you'll find that the reference is actually made in Vrindavan.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, I thought it said, because I mean, I thought I read it, I thought it said Melbourne 74 or something. Or it doesn't he say. Yeah, it's cool. No, I believe you. But I just thought, because it doesn't say this is not Melbourne, it is Vaikuntha, and then he says not Vaikuntha, it's Vrindavan. Doesn't he say that?
He was in Vrindavan when he said.
So he said this is not Melbourne.
Yeah, he was speaking.
Yeah.
In the conversation.
Yeah. So he said, it is not Melbourne. Because I thought what he said, this is not Melbourne. So I thought that referred to him being...
It's a conversation sense.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay.
So one of the boys I was speaking to, he saw the picture of the Brahma Samhita universe, cosmology. So he was asking, what is the purpose of Mount Kailash? That's on top of the Brahma universe.
Say it again.
One of my friends.
Yeah, you're preaching to it.
He saw a picture of cosmology according to Brahma Samhita.
that poster thing?
Yeah.
The big poster?
Yeah, big poster.
That has all the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on top of the Brahma YouTube, but before Vaikuntha, there's Mount Kailash.
Above the Brahma Jyoti.
Above the Brahma.
Okay.
So he's asking what's happening.
The Lord Shiva... there's different ways of understanding it. I actually don't understand that part of the cosmology perfectly. I need to have it explained to me by someone who's... Because you hear different things. So I'm not 100% sure what takes place. I've heard it described differently at that point. But one explanation which is correct is that the outermost region of Vaikuntha... There's so many Vaikuntha planets. The outermost region, there's a planet of Sadashiva. So Sadashiva is a form of Narayan. And he lives in... it's Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And then he expands into the material world. So that might Mount Kailash... I'm not 100% sure exactly where it is, but... Lord Shiva is like the intercession between the material energy and the spiritual energy. Mm. He expands and then he contacts the material energy, whereas Krishna or Narayan does not. Mm. So, but I can't give a... Because I don't fully understand. I've heard it described different ways. Mm. And I've never heard it described in a way where I can say, okay, that's the final. There's other parts of the spiritual world which I've worked out, which I can explain to you. That part I haven't fully understood. I'd like to speak to Shivaram Swami about it, but he's very difficult to get to him. Mm-hmm. I've written to him a few times, but I didn't get an answer because he's getting so many. Mm-hmm. So if he could explain, then I could understand. So. Maybe one day. Yeah. But Lord Shiva is in between the material world and the spiritual world, so something like that. Any other points?
As we were discussing yesterday evening about Kali Yama, he was so contaminated Krishna that can come near him. So you need a guru before you can go to Krishna.
Yeah, and you have to follow the guru's instructions. Then you become purified. So, any other point?
Yeah. So I have one more question. So in the Govardhan Lila, when it's mentioned that Krishna assumed the form of Govardhan and then ate all the offerings. So what does it mean? How can we visualize it?
How can you visualize it? Krishna was there with all the Brijbasis.
Yep.
He expanded himself.
What is
In the Govardhan Lila, when Govardhan Hill takes all the offerings and describes as like a second Krishna. So what's, how does that work? So he expanded himself, so one form was there. Govardhan, you can say, to understand Govardhan, because Govardhan is the greatest devotee of Krishna, but he's also said to be the Supreme Lord himself. So he kind of has like the several ways of understanding him. Like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he's also the greatest devotee of Krishna. So Govardhan Hill is Krishna, but he's also the greatest devotee of Krishna. So it is described in the Garga Samhita that one time Radha and Krishna were sitting together. Radharani asked Krishna to create a place, special place for their pastimes, their rasa dance, and then from Krishna's heart came lava. Like a little, lava means, you know when that volcano erupts?
Oh yeah.
Fire water?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not fire, it's not water, it's lava.
Yeah, yeah.
Liquid fire.
Yeah.
So it came out like a little ball, it came out of Krishna's heart. So you could say it like that, the Govardhan Hill is Krishna's heart. Because what's in Krishna's heart? He wants to serve his devotees. So how does he serve his devotees? He creates Govardhan Hill from his heart so that they can enjoy with him. So when the Leela took place and Krishna was there with all the Brijbasis, and then suddenly a huge mountain man. So he looked like Krishna, but Krishna like made of stone. So like a mountain human, giant, like a giant, but also made of rocks. And he was up there on the hill, standing on top of the actual hill. And he was, and he started clicking his fingers. Bring. I'm hungry. Bring. Like that. Aniyor. Bring more. So he was doing like that. So then the mountain man began to eat everything. Like that. And then at the end, when they fed him and satisfied him, they had to feed him a couple of times. Then at that point, he just sat there on the hill, used the hill as a seat, and he just sat there. And then all the Brijbasis had a feast. Mm-hmm. And then they served everyone, everyone took prasad. He just sat there and he just watched. He was just happy just watching everyone taking prasad. And then at some point he then merged back into the hill. So he is Krishna, but he's also Govardhan. They're non-different, but they're also different. Mm-hmm. Any other point?
Say it again.
Yeah.
So it's
so say like a book. So say that's the Goloka planet. The Goloka planet's like a lotus. You've heard the description, so it's like a flower. In the middle, like in the middle square, that's Vrindavan. And then on the outside of that, like in another, does like another square around, that's Svetadvip. Or you could say Mayapur, where Lord Chaitanya performs pastimes. So it's on the Goloka planet, but it's like an outer region of the Goloka planet. So Lord Chaitanya is there. So it's just a different area. The pastimes don't cross. It's not like Lord Chaitanya and the devotees all kind of just do Harinam. You know, Krishna's sitting with the gopis and they just do a Harinam through the middle and then they go back out. Oh, sorry, you know. It's separate. Like that. But it's all in Goloka. Different places. Sometimes it's described like chambers or rooms. So there's different rooms. So they're in one room, they're in one room, so that. Like that. So a different area, but it's there. Any other question?
Yeah.
If we don't do it, we can't do our bhakti. Get it off your chest. Okay. So then the question is, one devotee criticizes us, and then we go and speak to someone else about what they did, and then maybe we criticize them back. So is that okay? So it's kind of like that. That's the question. Yeah. So Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he joined ISKCON. He has black body, Negro, Afro-American, black body. So he joined the temple in America in the 1970s. Most of the devotees are white body. In America, there's racism. The white people, black people. Some white people don't like the black people. Black people don't like the white people. So then, he was living in the temple, but some of the devotees don't treat him very well because he's colored. So then Prabhupada came. He said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, in your temple there is racism. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, if you respond, you are no better than them. In other words, they may say negative things to you, but if you say something back, you're no better. Because they're in the bodily concept of life. You're also in the bodily concept of life. So then you begin to say things. It means you're both in false ego. So it means that, as you said, if someone criticizes us, then you said, can we go and share it with another devotee who's like a close friend or something? So yeah, you can go and share. But if you start criticizing them, saying, oh, they are nonsense, and oh, look at what they did, then you're no better than them. But if you just go to your friend and you say, you know, Prabhu or Mataji, then they criticize me and I feel hurt by that. I don't feel that was fair. Not that you're criticizing them, but you're just, that's okay. But if you start saying, oh, they are also like this, you know, she thinks she is so good, but what did she ever do? I never saw her come to Mangalati. I come to Mangalati every day with three kids. But she cannot do anything. Who is it? She thinks like this. She thinks she is like the goddess of fortune, like personified. Who is this personality? You know, she thinks she is like avatar of Mohini Murthy or something like that. So if you criticize back, then you're no better than them. But if you need to speak to a devotee, then that's okay. Any other point? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.